Amen. We've come together again. Can't hardly believe it that it's Thanksgiving and Christmas is right around the corner. Seemed like we just got through both of those holidays not too long ago. As you probably know, Thanksgiving is a holiday that was originally set aside by George Washington back in 1789 to recognize and thank our Creator for His goodness and His blessing. Thanksgiving is a religious holiday. I think as a culture, we're getting away from that, understanding that fact. It was started by the pilgrims who came over on the Mayflower, and after they came here, they signed what was known as the Mayflower Compact. And in that statement, we find that they gave us the reason why they left England and were willing to take that voyage and come here. And it says this, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. They were coming here knowing that they were going to be missionaries. They came here because they wanted to give God the glory. And so, bottom line, the motivation was that. The pilgrims that were led by Christopher Columbus back in 1492 left England to escape persecution. But more than that, they believed that they were doing and following God's will for their life. Listen to what Columbus himself said. He said this, quote, it was the Lord who put into my mind, and I could feel His hand on me, the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter and ridiculed me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because He comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. In spite of all the laughter and the accusations and being made fun of because this is what he wanted to do, he said God comforted him and he knew that it was God's will. He also said no one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Savior. If it is just and the intention is pure, don't be afraid. Columbus did not discover America by accident. Columbus discovered America because it was in the plan and purpose and will of God. He was led to come here. And that's why he made it through the voyage. There were times during that voyage where he became fearful and started to question God, because it was a very difficult voyage. But the thing that got him through was his firm belief that it was the will of God that he make this trip. See, for us today, it's so easy for us to get involved in all of the activities of the Thanksgiving holiday, you know. What are we doing as a family? Well, as a church family and then as a personal family, we've spent a lot of time in the grocery store getting food and making preparations and spent a lot of time cleaning house. Don't you just love dusting? Moving all those little deals and going like this. Oh, I just love it so much. I always think, why don't we clean after the mob gets here and leaves? Why do we clean the house, clean the carpet, and then wait for 30 people to show up, and all of them, half of them are short? Well, Sharon says she has to do it because it makes her feel good that everything is clean. And I do too. But what are we doing? We're making preparation for the holidays. And so often, as we are doing those necessary things, we can lose sight of the fact of why we are celebrating the Thanksgiving Day. Someone said this, for many, Thanksgiving is all about food and football. I could add food, football, and family. Basically, it's a preseason holiday. Something you do to get in shape for the Christmas time. We eat and sleep and watch football, and then we We do not stop until January 1st. The Thanksgiving Day is just kind of being squeezed out of existence between Halloween and Christmas. And we're gradually watching Christmas get a little bit earlier. Now there's stores open on Thanksgiving Day. And I think because those few do it, then many others are going to have to follow suit, especially if they have good sales, you know, and good participation. Talking about Thanksgiving, it is said, quote, "Thanksgiving is all about getting your entire dysfunctional family under one roof, hoping you don't have to call the police." And there's more truth to that than we want to admit or as people. Because I remember a few years ago, we were at a Celebrate Recovery meeting, and someone asked them to share about their memories of Thanksgiving. And one of the things that was said by more than one attendee was this: "I don't ever remember a Thanksgiving when everybody there didn't get drunk." Can you imagine thinking back and that's all you can remember as a kid and as a young adult? Well, there are people that's all they have. That's all they remember. And so Thanksgiving for them is not a joyful reflection. It is a time of drunkenness and no doubt, in my thinking, probably ending up in fighting. You know, because don't we do that sometimes even when we're sane or normal or not drunk? End up in a hassle? End up in some kind of conflict between two siblings or whatever? It happens. And that's Thanksgiving for so many people today. See, Thanksgiving is a day that's set aside to be thankful. So many people are thankful. I'm thankful for this and I'm thankful for that. But they're not thankful to God. That's the difference. When we say we're thankful for our family or we're thankful for the food or we're thankful for whatever it might be, it needs to be we're thankful to God for our family. We're thankful to God for this roof that I have over my head. That's the difference in so many families. So it's a day that we set aside to be thankful to God. So we're going to just have 2 points this morning. Point number one, we're going to look at 3 reasons why we should be thankful. And the second point number two, we're going to see 6 things to be thankful for. So reason number one, 3 things were reasons why we're to be thankful. Reason number one, because being thankful is what God wants. If that's all we had, that's all that's necessary. Because being thankful to God is commanded. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Psalm 100, verse 4. And then another one, Colossians chapter 3, it's verse 15 and verse 17, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Let me add one more. There are many in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." See, don't forget, especially when you get in all the hecticness of cooking the meal and family coming together, that the reason we're coming together is to give thanks. It is not just to give thanks, but it's to give thanks to God. And when we choose to do that, and that's what we're going to do, hopefully, in our homes Thursday, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're commanded to do that, so it's an act of obedience. When I verbally, either personally, quietly thank God, or I publicly thank God, I am living in obedience to what God tells me to do, to be thankful to God for His blessings. See, 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says it's the will of God for us to give thanks. So we know it's the will of God for us to gather together as His church family to give thanks. We know it's the will of God for us as a family at home, as we gather together under one roof and hopefully won't be called the police on us, and give thanks. It's His will there. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 tells us that the wicked, it's the wicked that never give thanks to God. And it says, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. And then it says this, nor were they thankful. It is only the people of God, those that know God, that can rightly give thanks to the Father, because He is their Father. But the Bible says the wicked, they don't give thanks. And so one of the evidences that you are part of the wicked is that you never give thanks to Him. Romans 1:21, it says there. We're to give thanks because it's commanded. And the reason number two, because being thankful honors God. Not only are we being obedient, but when we give thanks, remember this, when you do it on Thursday, or you do it sometime today, or whenever, or throughout the season, would be the cool thing, that when you do it, you're not only being obedient to what God wants, but you are honoring God. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:15, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Isn't it true when you hear about people or maybe are involved in it and they trust Christ and they get saved? What does it do to you? Do you immediately express thanksgiving to God for their salvation? When you hear of some child of yours that may be a little bit distant from God, they are not walking as close as they should, and you find out they have returned, what does it do? It causes us to overflow in thankfulness. When you have an issue, you overflow in prayer. But when that prayer is answered, we overflow in thankfulness, even if it's answered in a different way than we think it ought to be. Now, that's hard to be thankful for. We are to give honor to God in our thankful attitude. To have a thankful heart towards God means you recognize that you are totally dependent on God for your salvation in life and in death. It is our dependence on God that we make it through every day. It's our dependence on God that we make it through the next day, the eternal day. And we thank Him for that. We're to thank God because we're commanded to, and so it makes it obedience. We're also to thank God because it honors Him. And so we do that humbly, recognizing that everything comes from God and not from our hand. And third, number three, because being thankful to God is what is done in heaven. Let me read a few verses. Revelation 4:9, it says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And then another one, Revelation 7:11-12, all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God and said this, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. See, the angels in heaven are continually giving thanks to Almighty God as they surround the throne. Another one says this in Revelation 11, verses 15 to 17. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Wait a minute, I read that one. I repeated the same one twice. All right, okay. Messed myself up here. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces, verse 16, and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." In heaven, the angels and all those four living creatures, that's what they're doing in heaven. And that's what we're going to do in heaven. So we might as well get used to it now, because we're going to do that in heaven with the angels of heaven one day. Many Bible teachers believe that the 24 elders referred to in the book of Revelation represent the church, in the same way that the 24 elders in the Old Testament represent the entire body of the priesthood, the priests. See, we're believer priests, and so they represent us, the 24 elders, as they did in the Old Testament. Now, if that is true, which I agree with those that teach that and believe that, if that is true, then this is saying that we one day in heaven will join all the angels in giving thanks to God. So we see that it's obedience when we do it. It's humility when we do it. And last, it's worship when we do it. Think of that when you're sitting around the table and you go, okay, let's express some thankfulness here. I never really thought of that point around our table at our home or downstairs tonight, that we are worshiping when we give thanks, when we praise Him for what He's doing in our life and what He's done in our life. When we share those things, we worship. So we're obedient, we're humble, and we're worshiping. Three things, three reasons why we should be thankful. Well, what are we to be thankful for? The Scripture help us in that? And the answer is yes. Let me give you a few. There's six of them I want to share with you. The Bible gives us these six things. Number one, we are to thank God for our food. We're to thank God for our food. 1 Timothy 4:3 says, "There will be false teachers in the last days, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." If you believe and know the truth, you're to thank God for your food. "For every creature of God is good," he says in verse 4. "And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." And so we're told that we're to thank God for the food that we have to eat. Jesus himself gave us an example of doing this, because in John chapter 6, remember when he fed the 5,000? It would have been probably 15,000 or more than 5,000. What did he do before he fed the 5,000? He gave thanks to the Father. And then they distributed the food. And so we are to give thanks to him. Does that mean every time we have anything before us, we should give thanks? Well, legalistic, we don't have to be legalistic about that. You know, if you give thanks for the meal and then an hour later you have dessert, you got to give thanks all over again. You might feel like you did because it's been an hour. But if you want to, go ahead, but you know, you don't have to. What happens is God going to curse you if you miss a meal and forget to give thanks for that meal? That time, no, it's not like that. But we're told to give thanks for our food. The second thing, we are told to give thanks for God's holiness. Ask yourself, when was the last time you did that one? I had to think about that for a while, and if I did, I just don't remember. But I sure did it last week, thanked God for His holiness. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Back in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, after talking about their deliverance from Pharaoh and his enemy, remember that, the crossing the Red Sea and all that, and they were going through, and then Pharaoh's army comes, and they get to the other side, and they all drowned and stuff. He was talking about that, and then Moses said this. He said, "Who is like thee among the gods, little g, O Lord? Who is like the majestic, and you think he would say, in power, I mean, look what you did. Or righteousness, you killed those suckers. No, he said, majestic in holiness. Then he said, awesome in praise, working wonders. The first thing he recognized and thanked God was for his holiness. Tony Evans said, quote, holiness is the centerpiece of God's attributes. Of all the things that God is, at the center of his being is his, he is holy. It's his holiness. Remember what Mary said after she was visited by the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel told her that she was going to have a baby, and she said, how can this be? I haven't known a man. And he said, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and then you're going to have this baby. What was her response? She said this in Luke 1:49. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Then she said this, and holy is His name. See, Mary knew her scriptures. She knew what the Old Testament said. Because she knew this. It said this in Isaiah 47 verse 15. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy. She remembered Isaiah 47:15. And was thanking Him for His holiness. See, that simply means that God is perfect in holiness, which means He's separate from sin. Aren't you glad He's not like you and me? Because how did you act the last time you got angry or maybe lost control? Now, what if you had all power when you lost control? Aren't you glad He's separate from sin? Not only is He holy, He's separate from all of that. So we're to thank God for His holiness. Number three, we're to thank God for both His nearness and His wonderful works. For both His nearness and His wonderful works. It says this in Psalm 75 verse 1. We give thanks to You, O God. We give thanks. For Your wondrous works declare that Your name is near. We're to give thanks that God is near. And we need to give thanks for His wonderful works. What wonderful works could you thank God for today? What are the wonderful works that you could thank God for? And what are those things in your life that have revealed to you that God is with you, that God is near? Thank God for those things. Those times when you know He was near. When you know He was with you. When He helped you get through whatever those hard days might have been. And thank Him for His wonderful works. The things He's done in your life and in your family. Thank Him for those things. Number four, we are to thank God for one another. We're to thank God for one another. Paul said this in Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to give thanks for you. When was the last time you thanked God for your brother or sister in Christ? When was the last time you thanked God for a believing mom and dad? A mom and dad who were believers and they were faithful and they were good testimonies to you and taught you what needed to be taught. And you go to them, and I just want to thank you for being you. Thanking one another. Thank God for those that witnessed to you, and through that witness, you came to know Christ as Savior. Thank God for those that you know prayed for you. And because of that, you are who you are and what you are today. Thank God for one another. Take the opportunity to do that. Thanking Him. See, Paul did it just in just about every letter he wrote. Somewhere in that letter at the beginning, he said, I thank God for you. And I'm praying for you. Well, that's number four. We're to thank God for one another. for His church, the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. Number five, we should always give thanks to God. This may be and probably the most important one of all. We should always give thanks to God for our salvation. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." So what's the indescribable gift you think He's talking about? Any doubt that it's referring to our salvation? That is the indescribable gift? The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came at Christmas time, was born in a manger from a virgin mother, lived a perfect life on this earth, and then died in your place and in my place, went into the tomb and rose again the third day. That's the gift. That's the indescribable gift we're to be thankful for when it comes to God. Take time between today and Thursday to thank God for this wonderful gift and for your salvation. Get alone with Him and thank Him. Thank Him for His forgiveness and His grace and mercy and the gift of eternal life and victory and freedom and transformation and peace and joy and heaven. Thank Him that now you have purpose in life to follow His will and do what He wants you to do. And there's three more. Maybe you haven't thought of these three, but they're given in Colossians chapter 1, 12 through 14. And it says this. Let me read those verses to you. Verse 12. It says, "Always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance." So there's the first thing to be thankful for. My inheritance. "That belongs to His people who live in the light." Verse 13. "For He has rescued us." There's the second thing. We're rescued. "Rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us." There's number three. "Transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave us all of our sins." We're to thank Him for those three things. When was the last time you got before God and just thanked Him for the inheritance that is reserved in heaven for you? I thought about that and I thought, I don't know if I ever did that. I don't remember ever doing it. If I did do it, I don't remember. And so I did. I thanked God for that inheritance that I have. What is the inheritance? What's He talking about? Well, we inherited eternal life, didn't we? It says in Matthew 19:29, when you trusted Christ, you inherited eternal life. Eternal life is not that you inherited, now I'm going to live forever. No, everybody's going to live forever. It's a quality of life, a kind of life. We inherited, according to Hebrews 6:17, we inherited all the promises of God. Not some of the promises, but we inherited all the promises of God. So whatever promise you can think of, right now, you inherited that promise. And He is the fulfillment of all the promises. He is the yes in all the promises. Well, there's another one in Matthew 5:5. It says we will inherit the earth. That we will inherit the earth. That's pretty cool. One more. In Romans 8:17, it says that as children of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. What does it mean to be a joint heir with Christ? It means that we have everything He has. He has shared everything with us that He has. And He shares it equally. Because we're joint heirs with Him. Everything is ours. Because everything's His. And what does the Bible say? We're in Him and He's in us and can't get any more one than that. Not only should we be thankful for our inheritance, we should be thankful that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and its authority. Rescued out of the power of darkness. Ephesians 2:2 says that before we were saved, We walked according to the prince and power of this air. Before we were saved, we were cradled in the arms of the wicked one, doing his bidding. But when we came to Christ, we were rescued from that slavery, that power. No longer under Satan's power and authority, unless we choose to give it to him. We can't choose to give it to him. And he will try to do anything and everything he can to deceive us into doing that. But we've been rescued from the power and authority and dominion of Satan. We're free from that. Thank him for that. One more. We should also thank God that we have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated or transferred into the kingdom of light. We are now standing in the kingdom of his Son. That's where we are. And as such, we've been made subjects of God's kingdom, which makes him our king. Isn't that true? 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, you should walk worthy of God. You should walk worthy of God. Why? Well, he's the one that's called you into his kingdom and his glory. So why should we walk worthy of God? Because we're in his kingdom and in his glory. So we should be thankful for our salvation. We should be thankful for our food and for his holiness and his nearness and his works in our lives. And most of all, for his salvation, our inheritance, our deliverance, and our transference into his kingdom. Number six, one more point. Number six, we should thank God for, here it is, everything. Ephesians 5:20, it says this, always giving thanks to God the Father for the good things. For the things that go along the way you think they ought to go. No, it says, and it clearly says, for everything. We're to give thanks for everything. That includes the tough stuff. That includes to those dark days, dark experiences of life. We're to give him thanks for that. Ephesians 5:18, we're going to back up a couple of verses. It says this, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, giving thanks for everything is one of the fruits, consequences, or results of being filled with the Spirit. If I, as a Christian, am filled with the Spirit, then I will be thankful. I will be thankful for all things, for everything. It's that second evidence that we're looking at here. See, as a Spirit-controlled Christian, you have to, by faith, be willing to let go of everything in your life, lay it at the foot of Jesus Christ, completely surrender yourself and everything to him, then give thanks for it. Because you know he loves you. He knows what he's doing. And he's in control of all things. It doesn't matter what happens. We're to be thankful to him. Psalm 136:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. And here's why. Because everything's going good and perfect the way you think it ought to go. No, for he is good. So whatever God allows to come into our life has to be on some level, even though we don't understand, it has to be good because he's a good God. Psalm 136, verse 1. A few weeks ago, we got in the mail a report that Sharon's insurance, my wife's insurance that she gets from Bank of America, where she retired from working there, was going to go up $300 a month. Well, I wasn't a happy camper. Was I giving thanks in everything? No. And then a week later, we got another notice that said it was only going up $27. I was sure thanking the Lord then. I thought, I didn't do this one very good. Be thankful to God and for all things, knowing that He loves me and knowing He's in control and knowing that He's the one that supplies all our needs. Why not be thankful to a God like that, a God who is good? So we're to give thanks, not because we feel like it. It's because we know and serve a good God. It's time for us to be thankful to God for these things, because He wants us to. It's time to be thankful for our food and our freedom, our salvation, for one another. It's time to be thankful that one day when we die, we're going to go to heaven. We're to just be thankful. Because what more could we ever want? Christ to lead and guide us in this life and to live with Him forever in the next. Can't beat that. Have forgiveness of sins, all of them. What more could we ask? Easy life? No, that's not going to happen. Because troubles will come, trials will come, and we can be thankful because we serve a loving and good God. Father, oh, help us to be thankful people. Help us to see life, to see this world, to see everything from a heavenly perspective, from Your perspective, knowing that this life is only a vapor and then gone, knowing that as we live in this vapor, that You are walking with us through it as Your children. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for all these things. And we pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen.